Welcome, everyone. Thank you for standing by. This call is being recorded, so if you do have any objections, please disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Chris, would you like me to do a roll call for you?
Thank you very much.
Asia, on the call, we have Chris Dillon, Jennifer Chung, James Galvin, Justine Chu, Mai Shushapin Sirowat, Marc Blanchet, Patrick Lenihan, Peter Green, Peter Nan, Kumarampahata, Simon Perrault, Akaputra Wanawit, and on the line we also have, for staff, we have Julie Headland, Margie Milam, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Glenn de Saint-Gervais. Have I left off anyone that is on the call?
Hello, we have Steve Cheng,
and we also have Wolf Ulrich Knoben and Marie Milman. Thank you, Chris. I think that's all. May I just remind people to say their name before speaking for the transcription purposes. And it's now over to you.
Thank you very much indeed. We need to have a look at changes of statements of interest, technically. So if anybody has a change statement of interest since last week's call, then please indicate so now. Okay, hearing nothing, I'm presuming we can move on. And we've got two updates on today's call, and the first one is from Margie Milam, who's going to give us an update on the expert working group on TLD directory services. So, Margie, would you like to give the update?
Yes, and good morning, good afternoon, everyone. This is Margie from ICANN staff. I'm the lead support person on the staff side for the expert working group that the board convened it was about December 2012 to try to take a look at the whole who is picture to see if there's a better way to provide the services, essentially to take a clean start approach and try to identify whether there could be a replacement system to today's WHOIS system. So that expert working group has been working for about a year. They published their initial report prior to, I can't remember which meeting it was, two meetings ago, and that contains their recommendations for principles that could be used to design a new system. And then in the Buenos Aires meeting, they provided a status update that went into much more detail on their thoughts on how to develop a new system to replace the current WHOIS system. Since for the Buenos Aires meeting, they've essentially taken a hiatus while we conduct a series of research projects to try to get better answers to some of the questions that the group is exploring. So, for example, they're doing research on the cost of commercial validation systems. They're doing research on the costs of implementing some of the models that they've proposed. They're also looking deep into the privacy and proxy practice services to see whether there are some recommendations they can make with respect to those services. And they've reached out to various communities to try to get input. So, for example, they've reached out to the CCTLD community to find out how the CCTLD community deals with validation of certain WHOIS issues. And they also asking CCTLD providers to identify how they deal with privacy issues. So as you can see, they're exploring a lot of different areas related to the next generation, what we call the Next Generation Registration Directory Service. We call it the RDS, short for that. But I think what's relevant to this group is that they really have not focused on the translation or the transliteration of contact data. Essentially, they're trying to keep the recommendations at a high level, and they have a lot on their plate. They have easily 20 to 25 issues they're exploring, and they just felt that they would prefer not to address those issues, other than maybe high-level issues like the aggregated service that might be recommended should be able to handle multiple languages, something to that effect. But they're not going deep into the issues that this PDP working group is exploring, particularly because they knew that this PDP working group was already was already convened and already had a charter to take a look at these issues. And so they just felt that there wasn't anything extra that they could provide on this particular issue. So I think if you are worried about crossover or overlap, I think you're probably not, you don't need to be worried about that. But I guess as you do your work on this particular working group, I think the principles are going to be looked at and tried to apply to this next generation as well. So that's the background on that. When they conclude their research phase, they will meet again in Singapore right before the Singapore meeting. They have a two-day meeting scheduled because their goal is to try to finalize their report by the London meeting. And essentially their work will conclude right at the London meeting. The next steps following the publication of their final report would be to send it up to the board of directors of ICANN, and then ICANN will decide, or the board will decide, whether it should be sent to the GNSO Council for a policy development process to see whether action should be taken on the model proposed by the expert working group. So that is the current expectation, that the board would look at it, and presumably it would go to the GNSO Council. There's no plans to have this implemented without a policy development process. So it would be some time before any of the work from the expert working group would actually become a real project to be implemented. And with that, I think I'll pause and see whether you have any questions.
Thank you very much for that report, Margie. This is Chris speaking. Now, there's something going on in the chat room at the moment. Now, let's just have a look. Ching Chow is actually asking a question. He's asking, does the expert working group have the chance to cover the other three recommendations from the IRD working group report, especially access to who is... and that means over the web and via port 43 for IDN TLDs?
Essentially, what they're doing is trying to do this through just a high-level model. So the model doesn't exclude IDN, but they haven't done anything specific with relation to IDN. And if there's something that this group would like them to look at, that, you know, as you look at the model that was proposed in the initial report, I could certainly take that back to them and ask them to take a look at it before they issue their final report. But the idea is that it would cover everything. It would cover any GTLD.
Okay, thank you very, very much for that. That was Chris speaking. I think Ching is just about to follow up. Oh, yes, he's thanking you for answering that one.
Great.
Are there any other questions about the report? I'm seeing nothing in Adobe Connect. I was myself going to ask about the timeline, but you responded on that one. So if there aren't other questions about that, is there anything else you'd like to add, Margie, or shall we move on to the next report?
I think the only thing really to highlight is that the model is open for essentially comments. The additional information that was published in the status update report prior to Buenos Aires is still open for comments through the end of the month. So to the extent that you have anything you'd like us to specifically focus on or have comments on the current model that they've proposed, we just encourage you all to submit comments on that report.
Thank you for that. I'm very interested in validation. I mean, I don't know whether it's early days to ask questions about validation.
The report actually has a lot of recommendations related to validation. They've spent a fair amount of time especially fleshing out some of the issues with today's model, and have made a recommendation for a contact ID that you would validate and you could take with you. And so we were especially curious and interested in receiving recommendations related to that. And that the validation that they're proposing is much more extensive than what currently exists today. So I can certainly follow up with an email that I could send to Julie or Steve highlighting what sections of the report address validation issues.
Thank you very much for that. Peter Green is just pointing out that there was an announcement from ICANN. I presume it's about that. I'll just have a quick look at it.
It's yesterday. It relates to the privacy and proxy questionnaire that we're sending out to all providers to try to get some feedback on what their practices are. I believe that's what that particular announcement relates to.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. All right. Any other questions for Margie, or shall we move on to the next report? Seeing no hands up in Adobe Connect, let us do just that. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, everyone.
You're very welcome.
I'm going to drop off. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And the next report is from Steve Shang. I'm just checking that he's on the call. And that is about the study group to evaluate available solutions for the submission and display of internationalized contact data.
Thank you, Chris. I am on the call. I have prepared a brief presentation to share with the working group to update you on the status of the study. Next slide, please. So just some general background. As part of the effort to implement the WHOIS review team recommendations, one of those recommendations is for staff, asking staff to commission a study to evaluate available solutions for internationalized registration data. When the GNSO Council voted to approve the PDP, there was also a request from the GNSO Council to look into this issue. So this proposed study will fulfill both the requirements of the WHOIS review team and GNSO Council. Next slide, please. The study areas, next slide. Okay. There are three key study areas. The first area is to document the submission and display practices of internationalized registration data at registries and registrars. So the goal here is to get some ground zero data on how the practice is currently done today. I think within the community, there's already a breadth of experience dealing with internationalized registration data. And when we consider, additional policies in this area, certainly it's, to learn from what's being done is very important to avoid reinventing the wheel. The second aspect of the study is to consider and assess the cost and functionality of commercial and open source solutions for transliterating and translating contact data. There has been mention in the past, and certainly a key subject here, about translation and transliteration. But exactly, you know, how much does it cost? You know, how good it is for these solutions. So it's good to have some, you know, concrete data in there that would facilitate the deliberations. And the third, and I think probably, you know, the most important of all is consider and assess the accuracy implications for transliteration and translations of the contact data. As we know that there are a variety of transliteration systems, even, you know, within a single language and script, you know, for the Chinese, for the Han script and the Chinese language that I'm a native of and familiar with, you know, I know there are already systems in there, you know, and there will be obviously a fair amount of information loss for translations of the data. So just to, you know, kind of to consider and assess in a more formal way those implications of those transformations. So those are the key study areas. Next slide, please. Today I'm mainly going to talk about the first one, the submission and display practices. I sent an email to the working group, I think a few days ago, on this topic. So the goal here is to document the data collected from registrant for display purposes in local language scripts and its format specifications. We also seek to understand if the data is maintained in more than one language and script, how its collection, you know, translation or transliteration is managed, and the role of registrant in this process. So, for example, we know some registries and registrars require a registrant to submit both a localized version of the contact data along with a rather romanized version, right, to display. That seems to be a fairly common practice. But we want to know, you know, are there more practices similar to that or different from that? The third aspect is to explore, to understand tools, you know, that registries and registrars use for data collection, transmission, display, and their enhancements used in practice, you know, for EPP and HUI services. We know there are some limitations on some of those, and how does the registry or registrar deal with these issues? And finally, any additional tools employed for transformation of the data are collected in another language or script. So those are the goals. Next slide, please. We've developed a survey, actually two surveys, a registry survey and a registrar survey. The survey is done. We are now in the pilot test phase, where we conducted a pilot test with one registry already, and we probably need to do some more pilot tests. The administration of the survey is estimated to be around mid-February, and it will probably take 4 to 6 weeks to gather the data. Next slide. One area, as I was asked to provide an update to the PDP working group, is to think about perhaps there's areas of collaboration with this group. There are three things I think about and probably would open for discussion here. Perhaps if the working group is interested, you know, we would really appreciate the feedback on the survey questions, so that we make sure, you know, we're asking the right questions. And second is, as this PDP working team has, you know, a lot of experience in this area, so any additional insights you have on data points regarding submission and display practices to share with us will be especially relevant, especially as, you know, some of some of you operate, you know, registries and registrars that in different countries that are subject to different local laws, you know, regarding these practices. So those data points will be really helpful. And the last is to perhaps you could consider to help us to spread the word for the survey, or even to take the survey once it's public. So those are the three areas that we'd like to have a dialogue with the PDP team to see how we can collaborate. So those are my main highlights of the update. I have one more slide on the other ones. So we also started to look at the availability of translation and transliteration tools. We limit the scope to tools which covers a breadth of language and that are not limited to only do transformation between single language pairs. This is to, you know, with the understanding that registries or registrars often operate in diverse linguistic contexts, that's not that if transformations are needed, it's probably not limited, cannot be only one between a single language pair. We're looking at kind of four areas: the standards used for the transformations, accuracy for representative language pairs, license information, whether it's open source or proprietary, and the reversibility of such transformations. If one could posture the kind of the what would the end user experience for localized registration data directory service. Probably think about you know people can view those information in their local language regardless where those the domain names and registration data the original language is. So you know to do that, and a very important goal is to make sure there's transformation and reversibility of such transformation. So that's another area we're looking into. This area we just started. Right now, our focus is to get the survey out of the door and administer the survey. So the study team has been focusing its attention. So that's all I have for the update. Happy to answer any questions and discuss further. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Now, are there any? I can see there are questions. Ching, would you like to ask Steve a question?
Yes. Thank you, Chris and Steve, for the update. And this is Ching Chao from Dot Asia. So once again, thanks for the update. I think it's really useful to know from the Whois review team the status of the work. So I guess I have a couple points and question or comments to make. I will just go through some of my notes here. So actually, first is perhaps Steve, you can help us to recap the kind of the mission for the Whois review team and also for this working group. It seems that there is a very obvious overlapping works here. So and it seems that the Whois review. This PDP goes even further than this working group. So just maybe you can help us to recap how these two groups should work together or actually to allocate works among each other. So maybe I will just stop here and let you respond.
Thank you, Ching. A very good question. With respect to the mission of the Whois review team, I thought one of the goals to review the effectiveness of the Whois policies that has developed. I don't remember the exact language here. In terms of the efforts There are three efforts in this area. So the first effort is obviously the this PDP working group, which tackles really the central question of internationalized registration data. That is the translation and transliteration of the contact information. There is the kind of a expert group, a volunteer group to form to look at the requirement, the overall requirements for internationalized registration data. That is also in this area. The approach of that expert working group is mainly looking is by categorizing the data, the WHOIS data into different categories and look at standards of internationalization for each of those categories. So besides the contact data, there's a breadth of information that has been output by WHOIS. So for example, there are status, there are dates, there are emails. There are domain names, there are name server names, DNSSEC information, and a variety of other informations that could be considered internationalized. So that working group is tackling that piece of the problem and make recommendations. The third effort here is to study the available solutions, which I envision primarily will benefit, this PDP team as well as the other working group on the standards. So there are three efforts, and that's how I see they are related. And I think it's helpful and important to not do the work in silos, but to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. So. With that spirit, we're very happy to collaborate and share as much as we could to avoid duplication, really, and to make sure there's a synergy in all these efforts.
Right. First of all, thanks for the clarification. My only worry is the outcome. I know there's expert. Trustworthy experts, working on the experience on those issues. My only worry on this right now is that we are seeing an expert working group on the IRD, and we have two kind of chat channels for them. One is the WHOIS review team, and also as well as this IRD working group. It's likely that the EWG, that expert working group will create a set of recommendations, and the two separate working groups working on the same topic may have, different, the recommendation to the board eventually on the policy. So, pointing this out, this may not be happening if we, collaborate well, but I'm just, pointing it out that we have two kind of on the table, parallel or PDP process made by two different working group, and potentially I'm seeing a risk of different sets of recommendations being made towards to the same issues or questions. I'm not actually I'm seeking for answer now, but just pointing out potential issues that we who is review team need to deal with. That's one. I have couples, but I'm just in for the sake of time. I only like to point out one more item here is that both of us and many others in this call, we've been through very lengthy IDN, projects, the variant project, the VIP ones. So I guess one thing that we have already learned is that there seems there's no cross-border standard for different languages. It seems that the only commonality is there's no standard. Each language, each different local market may have different rules for IDN, I mean usage. I'm seeing similar scenarios here. We're coming up with sets of recommendations, but maybe it comes to the stage to implementation into different language group or different markets. We'll be seeing that different language may have different implementation or approach. So I'm just trying to help us to get some learning from the past, especially on the IDN VIP project, which Steve, you're taking the lead, and also I'm seeing Jim Galvin here taking the lead on that. I think that's a lesson well learned. I'm suggesting that that we really look into that type of structure and not on when we work on this translation and transliteration project. Maybe we should really to look into get a standardized or a common standard solution for all languages, but to see how we can incorporate different solutions for different needs. That's my two cents. I don't want to take too much of your time and others' time. Thanks.
Thank you, Chen. Point well taken. I think with the deployment of IDNs, it's to, I think the local operators really have a breadth of experience, and that we need to learn from that. So I think your point is very well taken. We probably, if I could make a request, we probably will come back to you to learn more about your localized practice at South Asia, which serves a variety of audience throughout Asia. So, thank you.
Sure. So happy to help. Not only this, I'm seeing you this couple of issues that you're working on. I think that's a good progress, but if we all take a step back, even let's say, for example, for the accuracy issue, even for the current English, ASCII WHOIS, it would be really tough for any operator to ensure 100%, even 90% of the accuracy of the WHOIS information. I mean, personally, I shouldn't speak for the registrar. I'm not seeing any registrar during this call, for this call, but I'm even taking the accuracy part for ASCII WHOIS, it's really a challenge for any registrar or registry to accomplish that. So I'm just, there are a couple of issues, but I'm hoping to listen to further updates and provide my comments. But thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ching. Now, are there any other questions for Steve about his report? I see none in Adobe Connect. The other thing that we could bring up at this point is actually anything that came out of the surveys which Steve circulated a few days ago, whether anybody would like to make any suggestions about the surveys. Okay. Now, I had a look at the surveys and actually found very little. But one thing we have talked about on this call in this group has been the fact that There could be a possible policy. I mean, I'm not saying this will be how it will go, but it might be possible that there could be a policy whereby certain fields were translated and other fields were transliterated. So when I was reading the survey, I was trying to make sure the whole time that if policy went in that direction, that actually the survey, you know, that there would still be useful data in the two surveys, you know, if the policy did go in that kind of direction. Now, the good news is that I think most and possibly all of the surveys were actually leaving that possibility there, but I would just like to flag it up because I thought that was quite an important thing, because often people think, oh, you know, the decision may be all translation or all transliteration, but actually it could, you know, it could be based on the various fields concerned. So that was really my comment on, or one of my comments on the survey.
Thank you, Chris. I hear that very loud and clear. In some of our preliminary work in other areas, I think that's you know, an area we are, you know, seeing things happening too. For example, we look at sometimes it just doesn't make sense to you know, translate names and organizations, right?
Because of
the accuracy, really, for those, and for even for address, maybe some part of the address ought to be transliterated, and some part can be translated, a mix of those. So you know, we are seeing some of that too, not only in the registration data itself, but also in other providers' practices. So we hope the survey could, you know, it will come up. These themes could come up, and that gets documented in the survey. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much for that. Now, looking at the chat window, Justine Chu is asking actually a question I was about to ask you as well. It's quite a coincidence, and it is about the timeline of the whole thing. And actually, you've replied that you think it will be round about the time of the London meeting. Okay, so that's an important additional aspect. Okay, so now the other thing which this group on this mailing list we have spoken about on occasions, which again may be interesting, is actually the use of the word transliteration. I think we actually haven't put, I was intending to put something about the word translation in the definition section in the wiki, but I haven't done it. I will do it after this call. But I think we are in agreement that the word transliteration can actually have several meanings. So a transliteration could be what I would almost like to suggest would be a romanization. So it's romanizing a particular language using an ISO standard. Or it might be some government decree, you know, this language will be romanized in a particular way. So that is a sort of very, very sort of technical use of the word transliteration. But then you get other systems which, maybe that's the problem. You get what you might call on-the-street transliteration. So this would be, I don't know, if you use the underground system, the subway in Tokyo, you may notice that the companies have transliterated Japanese in a particular way, and that, you know, there may be quite a lot of distance between the way they've done it and what the official standards are, and then And then you have another situation where a private individual transliterates something. And the example I would like to give that, it's a very simple example, but it would be a Chinese person who transliterated the name Li as using L-E-E. Now, if you follow the pinyin transliteration, that should be L-I. In fact, even more strictly, it should be L-I and a tone mark on it. But actually, people very often use sort of very individual transliteration. So what I'm trying to say is that we need to be very careful with the word transliteration because it has many meanings, and that's something that we've talked about on the call. And okay, and now there's some, and Julie's actually picking up some points in the chat window, which I'll just have a look at. Okay, there is an official transliteration, a definition of the word transliteration, but I think we have to be quite careful that that when we use that word, we know what sense we're using it in. Okay, and there's also a possibility of using the word transformation. Mark Blanchett is just suggesting that. To be honest with you, Mark, I'm almost myself going to the opposite extreme and trying to use very, very precise words so that we're not running the risk of using the same word with several meanings, which is often the start of trouble. Okay, thank you for that. Yes, Mark's agreeing with that last point. Any questions about so it's any aspect of Steve's report, or it's anything to do with those two surveys that he circulated. Anything anybody else would like to bring up?
Yes.
Is that Wolf Knoben?
Yes, I am.
Please speak.
thanks, Chris. I wanted to refer to the same what Julie brought up to the definition of with regards to the transliteration, which is here in the text. I think from the IRD working group So I also with that definition. So that is for me, from my understanding, not really that I could understand what is behind really. So I really agree to what you were saying that we should be very, very exact and try well to find a definition which is then understandable to everybody of us. With regards to that definition of translation in that context, I would like to say that it's a short definition. It's said translation is the process of conveying the meaning of some passage of text in one language, that it can be expressed equivalently in another language. So here's the word meaning in it, and that makes me tentative for questioning what is behind of that. Does this refer in this context to what we exchanged on the list over the last weeks, with regarding the meaning of contact information and to be translated and transliterated and the questions and problems they may arise in that context, or what does it mean? So I have some questions with regard to those definitions, and I fully agree that we should further discuss those. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, it sounds as if we need to have a slow think about both of those words to make sure that we use them in an agreed way, perhaps in that formal way that's in the wiki, and it also means that somehow that has to. I think in practice it could be quite easy in Steve's surveys to use a word like transliteration, and people will look at that and they will say, that means one of the looser meanings that I was just talking about. Well, actually, we're using it in a very narrow way, so it might be quite important to stress that. And the other interesting thing here is that we may find that actually it's quite rare to find places where transliteration is being used very, very strictly. I mean, we can't second guess what the surveys will find, but that part of them I shall certainly personally be watching with great interest. Okay, now a couple of people are making points in the chat room, so I'll just make sure that we're up to speed with those. There's a mention of a definition of translation in the final issue report. It's conveying the meaning, yes. And of course, as soon as we see that, we may be getting problems with reversibility, because we can find a word in a language that means this word, but when we go back again into the original language, then we may find that we choose another word. And so, there's a link with reversibility there. Okay. I'm just checking that there's nothing I need to be telling you about in the chat. I think we're up to date. All right. Well, let me just ask if there are any other points on Steve's either on Steve's report or on Steve's survey that anybody would like to raise. Okay. In which case we can move on into point six on the agenda, and this is really just me. First of all, I would like officially to thank Klaus for sending out the various letters, and to ask whether we've had any replies. I suspect we haven't, because I think we'd have seen them on the list, but I'll just ask quickly.
This is Julie Hedlund. We did get them out, and I want to thank Lars Hoffman in particular for helping out as I was out of the office for the last few days. But they did go out to all of the supporting organizations and advisory committees. We don't have any responses yet, but it's early days. So we certainly will bring any responses before the PDP working group as soon as we receive them, although I would be a bit surprised if we received them before the deadline that we placed, which is the end of this month.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Yes, and Lars is just also thanking Glenn for her work on that. Good. As I had hoped, we do have a little bit of time to revisit our proposed questions. So let us do that, and they are on the screen at the moment. As I was saying before, we will certainly revisit the translation and transliteration. I think those two words really do need quite a lot of thought. I mean, I sent some comments round the list over the last week or so, and I think I can find no contradictions within the definition. Sorry, the definition part. So that's what is contact information. I couldn't find any contradictions. There's some amount of duplication, which is actually a good thing because it just means that some of the definitions are quoting each other. So you know, those, that would need to be tidied up before a report was written. So there's some duplication. What the other thing I did circulate is that I pointed out that there is a sentence in the definitions which reads, to meet basic domain control needs, it should be mandatory for registries and registrars to collect and registrants to provide the following data elements. And you see, you've got this word should being used, and I pointed out on the list that we, because we are a policy group, it's conceivable that we might want, you know, it's not necessarily the case that we're going to follow that. You know, we may conclude that we want to, but we can't take it for granted that will be followed. And that's actually... in the expert working group on GLD directory services wrote that part of it, and there are also some parts of that document. I think we might want to have a look at that and just make sure that it is contact information, because there were certainly things like DNS servers being mentioned, which are, I think don't fall under that. So but perhaps we need to revisit that as well. I think that was all I wanted to say about that first one. So, and we've already spoken about this quite a lot on this call, but is there anything anybody else would like to add about that? Okay, thank you for that. And then the second question, why are we doing this? Is this particular feature necessary? I think it would be good to think especially about legal aspects and that sort of thing. But as far as I know, there actually isn't an update on that aspect, unless I don't know whether Vinay or Petter, I don't know whether either of them are on the call. I'll just double check. No, they're not on the call, so we can't ask them about that. And now the other questions we haven't approached, and so we're dealing with who gets access to what, which I think is one of the questions which is overlapping. It might with the work of other groups. I don't know what people feel about that. Whether we should be Wolf, would you like to pick that up?
Thank you, Chris. It's Wolf Oikonom speaking. Well, I'm just referring to the last question, the number two. Mm-hmm. Again, which is under Petters and Vinay's work. But my question in this context is, you are just focusing here, or more or less focusing on the legal aspects of what I understood. So, isn't that a question also with regard to the it's a why, so it's a reason, what is the need to do so, and is there a sense to do so, what are the advantages we are supposed, well, to expect from doing so. So this is, to my understanding, a little bit in addition to the legal aspects, so some question behind that. Are those questions also handled here in this group?
I think it's certainly it's something that we need to consider. It may just be that, you know, that some of these questions are getting quite close to the work of other groups. There's no doubt about that. But in cases like that, it might just be that you know, perhaps we link to what they're doing and we just use it. Yes, I mean, certainly what you're saying is it isn't just a legal thing. You know, things like advantages would come under that. So yes, we certainly need to develop the questions in that sort of direction, even if we aren't answering all of them ourselves. You know, maybe other people are answering questions. Whilst we're speaking about this, I circulated some addresses. I think Chinese, Japanese. I think it may just have been Chinese and Japanese addresses, and in a sense that may well be duplicating things that have been done elsewhere. But I do feel that rather than just passively listening to other groups, sometimes it's actually quite good to do a little thing yourself actively, and by doing that you suddenly become much more aware of what the issues are. So I think sometimes we may do things like that just so that you know, we have an active rather than a passive knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay. If we move into who gets access to what, I mean, on one level, that's the third question. On one level, it is a brainstorm of all the stakeholders. So it's, you know, it's everybody involved. So let me think: registrants, registries. Let me think: ordinary people, the public, security people, ICAM. You know, it's this sort of a thing, and you're then starting to get a matrix of, you know, what the features are, who the players are, and who gets what. And, you know, almost certainly overlapping, but also things that we should probably be aware of. So it might be good to start work on that third question, which is in fact overlapping with the fourth one. It's quite conceivable that, because we've got who are the stakeholders, and you see the who are the stakeholders actually plugs straight into who gets access to what. It almost comes before it. So we may also need to add some questions here to develop it and possibly change the order. Yes, that might be another thing that we consider over the next week. Perhaps that's a good place to start. It's always quite difficult doing this sort of question work on the call. I think in some ways it's easy to do it on the list. And we're quite near the end of the hour. So let me ask any other business, basically. More or less done. Ah, wait a moment. Yes, I'm just noticing that you know, there are actions coming out of this. So it's basically refinements on the list, and it might be adding questions and looking at 3 and 4, whether there are other questions, and then linking to existing information would be the other one. And especially within the first question, thinking of transliteration and to a lesser extent translation, that sort of area. Okay. Well, if there is no any other business, then let us kick these things round on the mailing list during the week, and then come back to this on next week's call. And so I'd like to thank you for attending the call. Thank you very much indeed.